Hi, I'm Roberta. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. And I'm really happy to be here. It's my first time speaking at the kitchen sink, and I was wondering when you were going to ask me. Humility is still a work in progress. So where did I come from? I came from the East Coast, and I kind of got transplanted here, and I've been dabbling here in L.A. for a few years when we came for a few months in the winter. And last August, a year ago August, we sold our house and we moved here. And so now I'm permanently in Los Angeles, and I'm really grateful to be here. This is where O.A. began, and I feel really happy in this city. It's helped my program in a lot of ways because I see aspects of the disease more clearly here. There is much more anorexia, bulimia, body dysmorphia. I look at these beautiful young women and I hear their problems, and it makes me realize that I've got to accept my body the way it is and not want that next 5 or next 10 pounds, that it's a sickness. So I come to this disease. I think I was born with it. I always saw food differently than everybody else around me. I loved food, family time, and eating was a highlight. My father owned a luncheonette in Manhattan, so he'd bring home extra food. Portions were huge. My parents were very social, so there was always a lot of entertaining, and all the goodies came out, and I was happy to help and help clean up, and with a lot of it going into my mouth. And by the age of, I was born in Brooklyn, and I lived in a very, really a close community. Everybody was the same. And then we moved to Long Island, to Valley Stream, and people were a little different. They weren't all of my religion, and I had a lot of trouble sort of fitting in. So I think I started putting on weight then. I remember I remember being humiliated in sixth grade when they called the weight across the room. And I was 125 pounds, and I don't know, I mean, most sixth graders, I guess, are about 80 pounds, 70 or 80. But by eighth grade, I remember being 213 pounds and starting to act out in school. I was always the good girl, but then I was trying to get attention. And, had a lot of experiences that everyone else did. Did a lot of dieting, a lot of, always very good at losing the weight, but it came back very quickly and never kept weight off. So I struggled, all through high school, and everything that I didn't accomplish, I blamed on fat. It was a wonderful opportunity to not take responsibility. They didn't choose me for the sorority because I was fat. And the same thing happened in college. And I never looked at my part in anything. I was always blaming. I was always pointing outward, always thinking that you were my problem. The world was my problem. And, I was just a victim, a bystander, and, just saw things so askewed. It's just amazing to me now that I'm in this wonderful program how I didn't have the right picture of the world. Well, originally I thought the world revolved around me and then my father. He was my first God. I absolutely adored him. And my history with God is kind of, really, I was always seeking. I remember trying to become more religious several times in my life to think that I would get closer if I did certain religious practices, especially when my son became a rabbi. I thought, well, that's what I have to do until finally I'll get to that, that I really had a big spiritual awakening and realized that, I have to find something that works for me. I don't have to use anybody else's higher power. So I came into program 1979. I was approaching my 40th birthday. Didn't want to be fat and 40. That was the phrase going around then. First I remember taking out life insurance because I was over 240 pounds and I was gaining, totally out of control with the eating. I had been teaching in New York City public schools, and then, well, no, not yet. In 1979, I had been teaching out in the suburbs, and then I stopped to raise my two children, and when I wanted to go back, there was nothing available. The schools had expanded so quickly, so I went to work in my father's luncheonette, which really fed my, you know, I think when I started working there, I was about 180 or 90 pounds in 75, and by 79, I was well over 240. So I remember commuting on the Long Island Railroad, and there were three seaters, and if the two end seats were taken, I would never try to squeeze myself in the middle seat. As exhausted as I was, I'd rather stand. You know, being the name calling, I'm still very sensitive. The big book says we're too sensitive. I am too sensitive because I think of all the cat calls and the nasty remarks in high school. It just, it still burns me when I hear that or see that. And, but I've lightened up a little. I've learned to make fun of myself and to, you know, to see that, humor heals and humor helps. And I'm not really so funny, but those are the shares I love when everybody's laughing. So, anyway, I came into OA in 1979. I really loved the program. You told me it was a disease. It wasn't my fault. It wasn't a matter of willpower. I loved it. Didn't like the God word so much, but I could tolerate it because you told me I could make the rooms or anything my higher power. So I had a lot of physical recovery. I was handed a food plan. It was a blue sheet, and I stuck to it. I called my sponsor every night and told him my food for the next day. I worked the 30 questions. I started working the steps, and I had a lot of physical and emotional recovery in the first year or two. I lost 100 pounds in 10 months. I felt terrific. My self-esteem grew as the weight came off, and now I've learned that that's not all that goes into self-esteem. Yes, feeling good and looking good helps a lot, but it has to be doing good on the inside, feeling good on the inside, not just the way I look. So I had a lot of emotional recovery because I worked through the fourth step. I saw my part in a lot of things. I started making my amends. I started seeing getting outside help. So it opened me up. OA really opened me up, and that's one of the assets, I guess, that I have. I really love to learn, and I am open-minded, and I think you need to be open-minded because you never know when you're going to hear a little, you know, it may be a cliche for years in the rooms, but you just hear it differently one day, and it really helps to turn things around. So I stay open-minded, and unfortunately, I took the first bite after maintaining the weight loss for 9 months, and I was off and running. I am so grateful that you spoiled the way I eat, because I could never just put my head in the pie again the way I used to and not come up for 6 months. I couldn't eat the way I ever ate and just with wild abandon and loving it. So it's good because you planted the seed that never let me gain back all the weight I lost. So for many years, you know, from 1982 to 2002, the 20 years I struggled in relapse and recovery, and I've had a few days and I had a few months, but the big prize eluded me because I didn't have a spiritual program. I relied on my sponsor, I relied on my friends, the fellowship was wonderful, I have made fabulous friends there. When I left Long Island, 50 of my nearest and dearest friends threw me a party, it was fabulous. But the spiritual eluded me, and thank God, in 2002, I don't know what happened, I was reading a book, and it just reminded me, when was I most peaceful and felt best about myself? When I was working this program in the beginning years, when I was passing it on. It was the first time in my life that I really felt useful, that I could pass this program on. And I always wanted to be at the next table, at your table. And I started learning to appreciate where I am now and I saw things differently. I understood the spiritual awakening. It's just a change in perception, it's a change in personality, because instead of seeing things from one perspective, I can turn around and see it from another point of view. And that really helped me to grow. So I got a sponsor who was you can tell spiritual people. There's an energy, there's a quietness. So I was attracted to somebody and helped me to make a higher power that worked for me. She taught me how to talk to God, how to pray to God. I took some of the prayers from the big book. I've done a lot of different prayers. I took out books on meditation, and, you know, like our step book says, there's no wrong way to meditate. As long as I'm willing to sit down and just be still for as long as I'm willing to do it, that's great. So now I have I decided at that time to make one of the rooms in my house my meditation room. So that was a very nice idea, because it was a place that I went every morning, and she convinced me to do it first thing in the morning before I exercised, before I did anything else. And that, to this day, I really think is important. Even if I'm on vacation, even if it's 5 minutes, I connect with God in the morning. So my spiritual practice today is maybe 15, 20 minutes of just writing in the journal. And somebody, you know, on retreat, sometimes I've written letters from God to myself. And it's always very empowering and loving. So somebody told me about a new way that she's praying, where she'll ask God a question in the morning, and then she'll write the answer from God. And so I've been doing that for a few days. Or otherwise, I just journal. It might be a 10th step. It might be, you know, what was good in the day, what was a glitch in the day, what was a goal that I had for the day, and some gratitudes, the 4 G's, or the AEIOU. There are so many websites and so much material, you know, from OA that you can get to help you to sort of do the 10th step. Every day, which keeps up with keeping my side of the street clean and keeping my spirit empty of resentments and excess food and anger and all the things that used to block me from the sunlight of the spirit. So I became more spiritual, I guess you'd say, and I developed a spiritual practice, and I read two daily books and maybe more, and I do a meditation, and somebody, I've done various kinds of meditation. Like I say, sometimes I sit and I just breathe in and out and just catch the breath, you know, and it all helps. It all helps because I'm a negative person. That's just how my DNA, just like I'm always going to be a compulsive overeater. I say I'm recovered, but I know I'm not cured. It can come up at any time, but God has actually removed the obsession with the food, with the whole thing. Not to say that some days I'm not attracted to the food and I want the food, but by and large it's removed, and if it does crop up, it's for a very short time. So I know that I'm recovered, because I am not going to, it stopped working for me. Just like a lot of character defects now have stopped working for me. So I've really, last night I was at just this wonderful service that somebody told me about. It was at the ocean, and it's in conjunction with Rosh Hashanah, and also it was so much our sixth step. You're supposed to take all your sins or your shortcomings and throw them into a living body of water. And so I did that yesterday, and it was like another step six, being willing to let go of the defects that are holding me back, the judgmental, the critical, the perfectionism, all the things, the self-hatred, all the things that hold me back, the people-pleasing, and just throwing them into the ocean and just giving them to God was a wonderful cathartic experience. I know I've done that at retreats where there's something that I couldn't forgive myself for, and the leader would say, you know, Sometimes we threw rocks into a fire or into a water. And sometimes it just doesn't happen at once. The character defect, you know, it's been now 12 years since I've been abstinent, since I'm on the spiritual path. I still have them all, but to a lesser degree. And maybe some of them are much milder and even gone. So I'm just so grateful, grateful for the people in these rooms, and most of all, I'm grateful for the steps of Overeaters Anonymous, because those showed me how to live my life. I never lived through the Ten Commandments. We weren't religious. I didn't feel God when I went to any religious service. It wasn't until the OA rooms that I started feeling God in the rooms, through the kindness and love that I feel and the camaraderie that we have with each other. So, you know, the principles behind each step is really what being in the steps is all about. And the first step is honesty. I had to get honest with the foods. The foods that give me trouble, that I better stay away from, the foods that I can eat, and also honesty in all areas of my life. That has been, dishonesty has been a thread since I was 3 years old and lied about who ate the cupcake. And that dishonesty just grew and grew, and I was taking the lipsticks and the from the drugstores and taking the candy from the candy stores, and I was dishonest when I worked for the New York City. I've already made amends. I used to be in charge of ordering things. And I took home so many things that were not mine. I just did not have a moral compass as far as dishonesty. You know, like I say, I loved my father, and he was my first God. Well, he had this luncheonette. And in order to really stay, solvent, he had to pay off, like when the Board of Health came, they would write him up unless he paid them off, and he had to pay off the union guy. So I saw dishonesty in not such a bad way. I don't know. But it really did me a lot of damage, and I love to tell the story that really was the aha moment for my dishonesty. I had taken out money from the ATM machine, and I was wearing a wallet around my neck, so I didn't have my bag with me. Went to the supermarket. I had a rain check for Russian dressing, and I wanted to buy, 10 of them, because there was, but the thing said you're only allowed 4. The week of the sale, there was no limit, so that self-righteous, justifiable anger. So if they let me buy 10, I'll pay for this pack of gum. Otherwise, I'm going to put it in my pocket. I'm always making deals with God. If you do this, then I'll do that. So she only let me buy 4, and the gum went into my pocket, and I walked out with my groceries, and all of a sudden, I'm driving away. I put the stuff in the trunk. People are picking up $20 bills from the parking lot, and I realized that the money from the ATM had all spilled out into the parking lot. God can take away more from me. It was a very visible reminder to me of who's in charge. So my honesty is getting better and better. It's not 100%. If you don't charge me for coffee, I don't usually say anything, but I won't steal something. So it's a little bit better than it was. So step 2 is hope. I have to be hopeful. I want to be hopeful because, I'm a negative person to begin with. So when I wake up, I don't have a lot of hope. So I need my spiritual practice to at least bring me to sea level. And then step 3 is faith, and I continue to have conscious contact with God during the day. I talk to him in my car. I see God in such things. Last night, the sunset was magnificent. I watched it go down behind the water, and it was beautiful. It was the first time I saw the sunset there, behind the Pacific. It was beautiful. So in program, I've gone through a lot of things in these last 12 and a half years. I've learned acceptance. I was chair of a region convention in Region 6 in 2006, and we had terrible rains, and the parking lot flooded. And I was busy helping everyone move your car, get it here. But meanwhile, my car was getting flooded, and when I went to try to get it out, I was getting deeper in the water until finally I felt it floating, and I kind of let go, and okay, you know, and then some people were tow truck drivers, I guess the hotel floods all the time, which we didn't know, helped me to pull it back, reverse. Sometimes I have to reverse, I have to change the direction I'm going in to get to safety. The car drove us home, over 200 miles. The car was then totaled. It was just an amazing miracle. I've had so many miracles in this program. My son and daughter-in-law, I told you he became a rabbi. He's very religious. They decided to move to Israel. And 8 years ago, they packed up, them and my 6 grandchildren, and they moved to Jerusalem. And instead of me saying, how can you take my grandchildren from me? They were only an hour away. They were in New Jersey. I was so happy for them because I know that they will thrive there. When Hurricane Sandy came in 2013, you know, my house was totaled. I mean, the water, I didn't even live that close to the ocean, but I did live near an inlet, and there was 3 feet of water in the house. Luckily, we had the apartment in Los Angeles. The house was rebuilt, but it helped me to move here. Because although it was gorgeous and nicer than it used to be, it didn't feel like my house anymore. So yes, my photos all got ruined, and it helped me with letting go. Every challenge, you know, they say, I don't know if I should say that on the tape, but it's kind of cute, I think. A friend of mine has a hat, ASCO, another fucking growth opportunity. Another, you know. That's what each challenge is, and I absolutely, because of this program, I react differently, and I'm okay, what am I here to learn from it, and move on. So, and then sometimes I can't see the goodness in it at the moment, and I have to remember that. You know, when the hurricane hit, it was devastating. But now that I'm living in Los Angeles and winter's coming and I don't care, and, you know, I just love the sun. It has helped me so much because I really thrive in sunshine, and I just expect the sun every day, and it's so nice. So then step 4 is the courage to look at my part in things and continue doing that daily. And then step 5 is integrity. You know, I was always a chameleon, and I was who I thought you wanted me to be, and now I'm more of who I am. This is Roberta. This is who I am. Step 6, willingness. I love it. I'm willing to change. I'm willing to grow. Step 7, humility. Step 8, self-discipline. You know, after years of staying on a very structured food plan, I now can eat everything, anything. I don't choose to most of the time, but I think it does take self-discipline. The Big Book says we are undisciplined people, and God has to discipline us. And step 9, love and forgiveness. Step 10, perseverance. I have to do it every day. I cannot rest on my laurels. If I'm not moving forward, I'm moving backward. 11, spiritual connection. And 12, service. I love doing service. I'm very involved in OA. I sponsor a lot of people. I do a lot of service on the group level, on, you know, intergroup, region. I'm going to Region 2 this year for my first time, Region 2. I've gone to World Service a number of times. I love it. Anybody can go. It's a wonderful opportunity. And I guess okay, so that's my time, and I appreciate that I had the opportunity to share with you all. Thank you. Okay. This is the time for questions only. There is no sharing at this meeting. If you need to share, please do so with any one of us after the meeting. Also, please remember that the opinions of the leader are my own and not those of Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. When asking questions, you need not identify yourself. Please remember, if you ask a question, your voice may be audible on the OA podcast. Okay, questions. David.
Thank you. I've seen a lot of people who went on the roof.
Thank you. The question is how, when you go to another city, how do you make it feel like your home, the steps that I took. So I was really grateful that there were so many meetings in Los Angeles. And I went to a few meetings, and I started going regularly to meetings and meeting people and reading the 12 stepper, and I saw that they were going to have elections for a new board, and I thought, well, that might be a nice way to meet new people. And so I self-nominated myself last October, and I became vice chair, and it's given me a real opportunity to get close to a lot of people. And you can rise very quickly in the OA rooms. All you need is a little willingness and time. And it's a great service because, you know, this program saved my life. And I couldn't give back as much as I've been given. So I think going to meetings and really reaching out, and I spoke when I was asked to at a workshop or two. I think service is really the answer. By participating in your group, in your, you know, giving service, you start to feel at home. Because then, first, when I put people's names in my phone, I used to say L.A. Tony, L.A. Ellie. And then I had so many L.A.s, I said, wait a minute, I better just take out the L.A. and just start Ellie, Tony, and whoever, you know. So, anyway, that's how I did it. Thanks. Okay, my meal plan is kind of following, generally choosing foods that are healthy for me. My abstinence is much more than that because it's handling whatever I eat in a loving manner. So it's treating myself with love and respect, and all, you know, I've put down that whip. You know, the difference between my food plan and abstinence, it's hard to differentiate because when I came in, they were synonymous. The food plan was the abstinence. That was one of the tools. And then they changed it, and abstinence was kind of our mantra, you know. I don't love the word abstinence. I don't even like the word abstinence. But I was reading a spiritual book, and they said the opposite of abstinence is not denial, but it's balance. And that made a lot of sense to me. I have balance with my food. I eat in a, you know, guilt-free way. I eat sanely. You know, I use utensils. I don't go through drive-ins anymore. You know, I don't eat secretly. So my abstinence is kind of all of that. And my food plan is the road to get there.
You said that you had character defects that weren't working.
That's a great question. How do character defects change on you and stop working for you? You know, there's that line in the book, what's it doing to me and what's it doing for me? And that's what I had to look at. The food was clearly, when I came in, I was ready to surrender it because it wasn't doing anything for me anymore. It was just taking me out and making me remorseful and miserable and self-hatred. So that was obvious. The character defects kind of play the same way. After a while, my judgmental nature was not working for me. Me thinking, oh, they came in late to the meeting again. Oh, they should, you know, that need to, it's kind of a few of them mixed together, my controlling, judgmental, critical nature, where I'm always figuring out the points, you know, what they do right, what they do wrong, and then I'm doing the same thing to myself, and it only leads to self-hatred and, you know, that putting yourself down. I realize it's a punishing way to be if I'm in judgment. It's not up to me to judge. Somehow, you know, it was doing more to me than for me. It wasn't feeling good anymore to be a judge. I didn't want to be anyone else's judge because then I would feel, if I was speaking, that you were judging me. And I didn't like that feeling. So slowly I'm trying to see that we're all in the same ship because I was always a little bit better than, you know, a lot of times a little bit worse than, but that arrogance and that need to be different, the need to be the banana with the Chiquita label on it, and need to stand out, you know, it's slowly changing, and I see that it's by judgment that keeps me apart, but it's by identification that keeps me together. So the judgment leads to envy because you have something I want, and jealousy, and it just starts being that nasty green little devil, and it just doesn't serve me anymore. It's yucky. I don't want it. And so I keep it. I mean, it's not the first time. I went to a retreat where they did a phoenix thing where you threw things into the fire, you know, and then the phoenix comes out. And I remember that judgment, no, I think forgiveness was the one I did then, but judgment is very much still front and center. I would love for that to leave me. Thanks. Any other questions? Janet?
You have lost a big amount of weight. What do you do with the body change and the loose pain and...
Yes, when you lose a big amount of weight, there's a lot of body change, and so I do have a lot of skin under my arms, and also with aging, you know, there's a lot of loose skin in my thigh. Like, I finally got thin, but then they were all kind of old already, so I couldn't even show off my legs, you know, which are now thin. So I do a lot of work with accepting who I am. You know, I have a certain body shape. I never was pear-shaped. My hips are straight, but I hold all the weight in the middle. And when I wear jeans, and I was just trying them on because I didn't wear them all summer, so they're much tighter than usual pants, so it pushes some fat up, and I don't like it. But I buy bigger shirts, and it hides it. You know, I always thought that if I lost another 5, another 10, and I got down to like 133 pounds, and it's just, it's too little for me. I have to restrict to eat that little. And even my weight now is a little bit more than it was for the first 10 years, because I was able to maintain about 140 pounds. And I don't know, maybe my lifestyle changed when we moved to Los Angeles. We eat out more, and I drink wine now and then, and I'm not willing to restrict. So it's up to 145, 147 pounds. But, you know, for a while I kept thinking, okay, I'm going to lose these five. And then I had this aha moment when in 1973, when I had gone to a commercial weight loss program, my goal weight was 147. I was 30 whatever, and that was my goal weight. So where am I going? And like I say, the people in these rooms help me because I see these gorgeous women, young women, who want to get thinner. And they're like, when is it enough? So I think it has to be, it's enough. I want to feel comfortable. And I've heard people say, feeling comfortable in your own skin. I love that phrase. So I'm comfortable in my own skin. It's an appropriate weight. Nobody's going to say, oh, she's obese. I just want to be normal. I don't have to be the thinnest person on the block because I'm in Overeaters Anonymous. I can't expect myself to be so perfect and rigid. I don't want it. I want to enjoy food. So I think it just comes from acceptance. I think that's the answer to a lot of things. This is who I am. Look at yourself in the mirror. And, you know, you're beautiful. And believe it. Thank you. Was that the time?
Yeah, you have
our answer. Okay. Diane?
Thank you so much. You talked about service. How do you work step 10 in your action?
Okay. So step 10, I have various ways to work it. But basically, step 10 is a spot check. So if I'm being nasty to the cashier because I think she's too slow, you know, I immediately catch myself. It's immediately changing my attitude and my feeling. So a lot of it is on the spot. And then my reflective step 10, if something comes up, like my resentment, my husband isn't being who I want him to be, you know, is a very common thing that I run into. So I use a step 4 sheet, and I'll really see what is it affecting. You know, is it my self-esteem, my sex relations, what is it affecting, and what is my part in it? Well, my part in it is I know who he is, and it's my expectations that are, you know, causing it. So I'll do an extensive 10th step if I really have a resentment that I want to get rid of. Otherwise, like I said, I do those 4 G's, just something good in the day, a glitch in the day, gratitudes, and a goal. Or I'll do AEIOU, how was my abstinence, my exercise. I exercise every day. I enjoy exercising. I wear a pedometer so I get credit for my exercise. I like to see those 10,000 steps on it every day. So I use it in my pocket. It's a great motivator. What did I do for myself today? This afternoon I booked a massage. What am I doing for others? Whether it's sponsoring, making an outreach call, or just servicing your family, and you, what did I uncover today? So it's either a quick AEIOU or that. There are also extensive sheets, but I'm not an extensive person, and at night I just want to hit the pillow. Now that's about it. Okay. Carol.
Thank you, Cheryl.
I'm a real conglomerate with my sponsees. How do I work with them? Everybody is unique and individual, and I sponsoring about 10 people now, but about 5 or 6 of them have been in program a long time and have worked through the steps. So when I get a new idea or I hear something, we'll work that together. I use other books outside of program, spiritual books that we read together, and we do work in those. I work differently with each person. A lot of times when I get a new person, I ask them what they would like from a sponsor. I've taken people through the big book. But like I say, I feel like our step book and the big book together and the AA step book, the 3 books together, is what makes my program strong. And so I'm usually, we work in all 3 books. And we go through the steps together and talk about whatever's coming up during the day and food they can give me or not. You know, I really am not a nutritionist, and I don't know what you should eat, and I don't get myself in my sponsee's food. You know, if I see something weird, I'll comment, but, you know, I think that we know what we need to eat. And so it's between you and your higher power. So that's kind of how I work with everybody. Thanks. All right. One more question. Yeah.
I forgot. I had one.
Okay. Go ahead, Reva. I absolutely relate to that. Okay, so there's restraint of tongue and pen. That's from the Step 10 OA, the AA book. I was listening to that this morning, restraint of tongue and pen. So I pause a lot. It tells me in the big book when I'm agitated or something's wrong, pause. You know, I try not to react anymore. I was a reactor, and I tried to act. Honestly, I really don't get so angry anymore. I don't know. I think when you like yourself and you're just kind of aware the world is a loose garment, I can't remember the last time that I felt anger. When I do feel anger, I need to talk about it and get rid of it. So sharing with others is a great help to me. I'll make phone calls and I'll tell them about it and get it out. I'll write about it. I've taken a black magic marker and written curse words and whatever I want about my anger. I've torn it up. I've burned it. You know, but generally, you just have to get it out of you some way. You know, you just get quiet and get it out of me. I haven't felt anger in a long time. I'm really very grateful. Thanks. Okay, that's it.